Welcome back to a brand new episode of MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. Now, a lot happened this past week, Pro Tour Amonkhet. A lot of unexpected results happened, but we'll get to those in a minute. First, I want to talk about this past week's FNM. I know I've been keeping you guys informed on how my deck is doing, and I'd like to continue with that a little bit. Just a quick refresher, I am doing a Grixis Cycle deck, a style which is my own. I'll release the deck list shortly. So far, it's not doing too bad. Last FNM, I took it to, it went 3-1, which is pretty decent, I think. It did have an issue with one of the decks that emerged out of the top 8, which was Zombies. But I think a little adjustment, I should be prepared for Zombies as well. Now, that being said, if the deck does seem to steamroll a bit, I probably will change. I did mention changing to Zombies. I just don't want to follow the hype train. I used to have Timur Aetherworks, so I might attempt to put that back together. I might end up trying black-green energy as well. I do have most of the pieces for that. It's just a matter of finding something I'm used to or finding something that's putting results in so I'm able to make the climb. And that is a lot of what we have to do. Just because we want to play a certain deck doesn't mean necessarily that deck is good. It just, to be competitive, you have to stick with the climb as best you can. So I did mention that Pro Tour Amonkhet just happened. We had a fairly large-sized turnout for Pro Tour Amonkhet. I believe Mardu Vehicles was sitting at the top percentage of the field, around 26-27%, followed up by Timur, Aetherworks, Zombies, Black Green Energy. All those put up decent numbers. There were a few other side decks that showed new perspectives. I believe there were a few copies of that. There was Green-White Tokens deck, I think, as a one-of. There were a few Red-White Humans decks, which I thought would honestly do a little bit better. I thought that was going to, you know, at least make a top 8 as a one-of or something, but I'll get to that shortly. The biggest surprise overall, I think, for everyone was that Timur Aetherworks, one, took as many spots as it did, and two, the fact that Mardu Vehicles or Mardu Ballista, whatever you want to call it, didn't show up at all in the top 8. Now, I don't know if you can blame that to most of the pro field being prepared for that, or if the deck is just not as good as Aetherworks Marvel or the new black, white, or black zombie deck that showed up. There is a lot of debate, and I think what we do need to have is a bit more testing with it. That doesn't mean Mardu Vehicles isn't a good deck. Far from it. I think a lot of decks played a very similar list. I don't think that they made adjustments quite enough for the field as it was. If they knew what they were playing against ahead of time, or if they had some suspicions, maybe they might have sideboarded in a little bit more. So I think once we have the field settle a little bit, we will see a resurgence of Mardu Vehicles or Mardu Ballista, of course, and it'll come back into fruition with an appropriate sideboard. They could run Lost Legacy, or they could run other cards that would go along with other sideboard cards that would go along for hate for Aetherworks Marvel, Black Zombies, Black Green Energy, or any other deck that might show up. Again, I could be wrong, but that's what I feel. I do think the Mardu Vehicles deck is still strong, and I think it will eventually make a reshowing in a couple of weeks. The prices have started to go down on the deck, and I don't think it's quite yet to abandon the deck as a whole. I think just people are excited to possibly pick up other pieces to other decks. But like I said before, I think we need a couple more weeks to just solidify the field as is. Now, I am excited with the emergence of a few of the decks that have shown. And I did mention all those, the New Perspectives deck and the Red-White Humans, the different variants of Zombies, the Timur Aetherworks. All those decks look rather exciting, and I am happy to see such a diverse field. I am hoping that we get a few more decks in here. Like I mentioned before, I'm playing a Grixis Cycle deck. I'm hoping somebody picks up on that. But as of right now, I think the field's just kind of starting to have a good mixture. Almost like a tide pool. Things are just going and going and going around at this point. Now, before we move on to our next topic, a lot of people are probably wondering why I'm playing a Grixis Cycle deck. Well, my reason behind this is Cycle has always been a strong mechanic, and there are a couple of cards to enable the Cycle mechanic in this format to make it actually really good. Faith of the Devoted and Drakehaven both have an ability that abuses Cycle, and that's personally what I like. So far, it's put up some pretty decent numbers, at least in my opinion. I am keeping like track on a little notepad I have that I carry with me in my backpack. I'm just keeping track of what matchups I have done and what are the percentages in those in the matchups, and that's just something I personally do, just to make sure that everything is coherent when I decide whether or not I want to stick with the deck that I have or switch to a different deck that's putting up better numbers. And a lot of people are out there probably wondering, am I actually running New Perspectives? Now, I did try the New Perspectives card in my Grixis cycle deck, and for those who don't know what New Perspectives does, it's a 6-drop enchantment, draw 3 cards. If you have 7 or more cards in hand, cycling is now free. I did try that in my deck, and unfortunately it was a little bit too slow for my tastes. It just seemed like a really odd card to have. When I drew it, it was either too late, and I didn't have enough to gain fuel, or I kept on it too early, and it just seemed dead overall when I could just have more removal and different win cons. Don't get me wrong, I do like the card, and I have a feeling that once decks start stabilizing a bit more, it might see a bit more play, but as of right now, I'm not currently running it in my variant of Grixis Cycle. So with that in mind, I'd like to go back to Mardu real quick and why it had such a disappointed showing in Top 8. A lot of the decks were either prepared for it with a large sideboard, or the decks were just faster than Mardu Vehicles or Mardu Ballista. You see a faster deck in Zombies and potentially a faster deck with Aetherworks Marvel. I know a lot of people out there who read the Cardboard Crack comics, and they mentioned earlier that Aetherworks Marvel is a coin flip for a win. And it truly is. It is a coin flip. If it hits Ulamog off the coin flip, then yes, there's a distinct possibility that they're going to win. And when I was playing my variant of Aetherworks Marvel, even after Emrakul Ban, I was playing a 4 of Ulamog and 2 Torrential Gearhulks, and the deck seemed to stabilize. But Saheeli Cat did take Timur Aetherworks as I had it out of the running. It was the better combo deck. It was more reliable. And now that the most reliable combo deck in format has been killed, we're back to Timur Aetherworks. And I really do enjoy the deck as a whole. I think it's fun. I really enjoy Glass Cannons as a playstyle. I guess that's where you'd put me, as if a deck has potentially a Glass Cannon ability. I like the idea of it either shoots far or it's just going to die and burn and crash. But that's just me. That's just my thought on decks. I just like playing fun little things like that, and that's what I think Aetherworks Marvel currently is. I do think the deck could use a couple more fatties than just the Ulamogs. I don't know if anyone in the Pleuro Tour, haven't gotten through all the deck lists just yet, were able to play Kozilek or any other big fatties. I know they're playing Gear Hulks, but there are potentially a few other fatties that you might be able to throw in, and I'll mention those later on in the video. But right now, it's going back to what I previously stated. Aetherworks Marvel does have a very great potential to outspeed Mardu Vehicles, especially if they're able to cast Ulamog and get rid of a couple of the lands they need. Because at that point, if they have a Heart of Chiron on the field and they have a creature, yeah, they can pilot Heart of Chiron all they want. But if they're down to 2 lands or down to 1 land, they're going to have a hard time casting anything to deal with your Ulamog before it just annihilates them after a couple of turns. So you don't mind taking 4 to the face or whatever it is for a little bit before things just end up going your way for Aetherworks Marvel. I have seen Zombie deck playtest up against Mardu Vehicles. The variant I've seen is the black-white, so I haven't seen a mono-black variant just yet. At my local game store, we have the 2 other variants with a blue-black variant and a blue-white variant. I've seen both of those, and out of those two, the black-white variant seems to be the stronger. From what I've kept down, it seems to win more consistently against Mardu Vehicles. And it's just because it's able to go so wide. I believe you have 3 lords currently in standard with any zombie variant right now. The 3 lords are Lord of the Accursed. The 3 lords are Lord of the Accursed. The 3-drop, 2/3, all other zombies you control get +1/+1. You pay 2, all zombies gain medicine until end of turn. Then you have a 2-drop pseudo-lord with Metallic Mimic. It is not a zombie until it enters the battlefield. Then you declare it, and then all zombies that enter the battlefield after the Metallic Mimic resolves get a +1/+1 counter as they enter the battlefield. And then you have the 3rd pseudo lord. And the reason why I'm using pseudo is because they're not zombies initially until you declare them. But the 3rd pseudo lord isn't actually a zombie at all. It's actually an enchantment. It's the 5-drop Liliana's Mastery. All zombies you control get +1/+1. And then when it enters the battlefield, it also creates 2/2 black token zombies. So for effectively 5 mana, you get 2 3-drops drops that also buff all the rest of your zombies. Honestly, that was the biggest surprise to me, was that saw as high a play as it did when it came to black zombies. I did think they were going to use Metallic Mimic, and I did think they were going to use Lord of the Accursed. I didn't think Liliana's Mastery would see a 3 of or a 4 of in some zombie decks. I did think it was good enough to play as a two of in the main deck, and it's definitely great enough for standard. But what it surprised me was it saw, like I mentioned earlier, three of, four of plays, which honestly just, it kind of blew my mind. A lot of the decks at my local shop when it comes to zombies are actually running the new 5-drop Liliana over that. And don't get me wrong, she's a great card, but I'd rather play her personally in the side just because zombies is so prevalent that she's effectively a 5-drop turn 7 board wipe unless you're playing against a zombie deck. I'd rather play 3-drop Liliana in that spot. Or, at this point, Liliana's Mastery, which does so much more work for you. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, it blew my mind that it saw as high a play as it did. And I'm honestly happy that it does. I do like to see enchantments see a little bit more play when it comes to that sort of thing. That being said, those two decks are able to outpace or go wider than Mardu vehicles can control. From what I saw, a lot of the decks weren't running at least a one of Fumigate mainboard, and the Mardu vehicle decks at my local shop, at least the guy who frequently plays it, has a one of main and a one of side. And I think that's the call, at least with the meta, the way it's shifting, towards a more low-to-the-ground deck that has cards constantly in play like it does with zombies. At least it potentially gives you the chance to wipe the board of all zombies. You'll gain, let's say, 10 life on the resolve of Fumigate, which will put you back into the game, unless, of course, there's a Liliana emblem on the field or something. But that's very situational. When it comes to zombies, if Mardu wants to stay competitive or wants to get back into the top 8, I do think that's where they're going to need to go. As much as I love the card Dawn and Dusk, I think Fumigate right now, with the way the two low-to-the-ground decks that we're seeing in zombies and with humans, Mardu's going to need to run at least a 1 of Fumigate main and a 1 of Fumigate side, if not maybe a 2 of. It's not going to do anything in the Aetherworks Marvel matchup, and it's not going to do anything in against, like, my Grixis Cycle deck. But it will keep them in the game against the more aggressive things. Because as of effectively right now, Mardu, in my opinion, was sitting in the more aggressive control slot. And if it wants to maintain that slot, it's going to have to be even more controlly than it was. It might have to cut a Gideon or two. Or they might have to cut, let's say, they're running Chandra, Torch of Defiance. Granted, she's a great card. The way the meta's shifting right now, she might not be as great, at least in that deck. Chandra, Torch of Defiance still fits fairly well in a Aetherworks Marvel Timur build as a one of alternative or two of alternative win, but there are definitely other things that could fit into that slot. So if that idea needs to show up, it needs to show up sometime soon, as will any other sort of Madness strategy. We only have a few more months left with Madness cards. So if people are wanting to test this Hazoret Madness deck that I hear so much about with vampires, it needs to happen soon, likely. With that in mind, I'd like to move to the top 8 for the Pro Tour Amonkhet. Now, I did manage to catch a decent amount of it at my local game store. They were streaming it on the TVs and computers in the back for those of us who were interested while we were playing. It was rather nice. I wasn't able to watch all of it, but I did manage to catch the last day with the top 8 going, and I caught some other previous matches in the day that they streamed. The top 8 for the tournament were 3 zombie decks, 1 black-white, 2 mono-black zombies, 4 Aetherworks Marvel decks, all Timur, by the way, and 1 black-green energy deck. All these decks, as of right now, I think were prepared for the Mardu matchup, and I think that's why they were able to make it into the top 8. So that's why we're not seeing a lot of Mardu, at least when it comes to the top 8. Now, if you go to the win percentage or by points, who was the overall winners, you do see, at least I believe the list shows, 2 Mardu vehicle decks, if you go by points. But I like to go what deck won overall, personally. What interests me right now is we do have 1 black-green energy deck that made it into top 8, and a lot of people were rather confused by why did this one deck stand out compared to all the other black-green energy decks. Well, one comment made was there were 4 of Bone Pickers entered into the standard event, and the 4 ofs did make it into top 8, and the 4 of Bone Pickers were in this deck. Now, if you look, I did watch the matchup, and I believe this black-green energy deck ended up losing to the deck that took first place that day, if I remember correctly. And Bone Picker seemed to do a lot of work for him. I believe there was at one point where he played, if I'm remembering right, 3 Bone Pickers in a single game, which is ridiculous. That's 9 power in the air with 3-2 Death Touch. And that's honestly showcasing the power of this card. It's able to fly over, deal a lot of damage, be a very threatening blocker when need be. But the problem is, something of yours does need to die for it to come in turn one. Now, do I think it's the next Delver? Or, as a lot of people, at least in my shop, have mentioned, they think it's the next Delver, or as strong as Delver. And the card is strong. You can arguably have both of them on turn two. Delver flips on turn two if you have the draw. And this card, if a creature of yours died that turn somehow, you're able to get it out on turn two. So they both are 3/2 power on turn two, at best, at the best of conditions. But personally, I still do enjoy Delver a little bit more. And we actually already have a black Delver in Standard. A lot of people probably forgot about it. I am, of course, talking about Heir of Falconwrath. It is a 2-drop. All you have to do to flip it is discard a card, and it flips and turns into a 3/2 flyer. It flips more consistently than Delver and gets out on turn 2 more consistently than Bonepicker. And the reason why it's hedged out, at least for right now, over Bonepicker, in my opinion, is because Bonepicker has Death Touch and you can get it out potentially for 1 mana. Or it can just be a late game sort of thing. I think right now there could be another black deck that eventually shows up and you'll end up seeing Bonepicker and this card in the same deck. And they're both 3/2s, they'll both fly over and just start beating face. They might even fit into some sort of weird madness strategy together that requires you to sacrifice creatures so you can get out the Bonepicker and you can play this card and start flying over for 3/2. It could be a deadly combo in Standard, but as of right now, we only have at least 6 more months before we see our first rotation in this 18-month rotating format. Now, one of the best cards in the deck overall is Verdant Gearhulk. 5-drop, when it comes into play, put 4 counters on something. It's a 4/4 and itself has trample. And a lot of black-green energy decks will definitely say that's one of the top, if not the best card in the deck. Well, the black-green energy deck that topped and had, ironically enough, no Gearhulks was also the same deck that had 4 of Bonepickers. And that's this deck. It did replace Verdant Gearhulk with Bonepicker. I think a couple other cards were changed around, but that was the biggest surprise for everyone. And a few comments were made, well, now the deck's a bit lower to the ground, it's a bit fairer to cost, which is true. But what I don't think a lot of people realized is Bonepicker is also a 3/2 Death Toucher with flying, and that gives the deck a decent, if not slightly better, matchup when it comes to playing Mardu vehicles, because now they have a flyer in the air that only costs them 1 mana to play if something died that turn, which against Mardu vehicles is very light. Moving on, we did have 3 other zombie decks show up in Top 8, as well as a 4 of Timur Aetherworks Marvel. Now, the Marvel decks were all, for the most part, very similar. Some ran a 3 of Ulamog, some ran 4. The creatures all varied, but for the most part, they were all the same deck. Where you did have a variance was with the zombie decks. We did have 1 black-white zombie deck, and we did have 2 mono-blacks. The black-white zombie deck did utilize a few different cards that the mono-black wasn't able to. Binding Mummy, which was kind of a surprise for me, but considering that it's able to tap down stuff, the more zombies you play, it just makes sense. I believe it was a 4 of Wayward Servant, a 2-drop, 2/2. When a zombie enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life, so it's a pseudo-lord in my opinion, where it's just going to constantly drain. I really enjoy the card, and that's why I think the Black-White Zombies deck does at least as well as it does against the blue-black zombie deck in my shop. I believe a few other cards that the deck utilized was Anguished Unmaking over the black mono-black variant. It just has access to that. It has access to Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, Scrap Heap Scrounger, Deccan Stone, stuff like that, which was able to help the deck get there. And with Gideon, you also have another potentially pump ability, that which allows the guys to survive if Gideon utilizes his emblem. But if you compare that to the mono-black versions, the black versions did utilize a few cards that white version wasn't able to. Black-white version wasn't able to use Westvale Abbey, which is an alternate finisher. Almost all decks in current Standard have a hard time dealing with it. There aren't a lot of instant sacrifice creature effects in Standard, and the fact that it's able to effectively create an 18-point life gap makes that card really out. But because of the way that black-white deck also runs, it's not able to utilize kill spells like Grasp of Darkness, so it can't deal with indestructible things like Avacyn. The deck doesn't have access to Liliana because the mono base is so tight, and I am mentioning both Lilianas here because of the splash of white. I personally think it has potential to have one in the side or something, but if I remember right, the black-white list did not have a Liliana. Instead, it chose to run a 4 of Gideon, which Gideon is a fantastic card. But because it also chose not to run Liliana for 2 black and 1 colorless, it also chose not to run the 3-drop Gideon, which is 2 white and 1 colorless. In fact, it was mentioned by one of the broadcasters that there wasn't a single 3-drop Gideon at all in the Pro Tour. That surprised me a little bit. I thought somebody might be cheeky enough to try to put one of main, or I thought there might be a control deck that just showed up with Gideon as an alternate win con or something. Or heck, I thought that Mardu Vehicles might try to splash it in as a one of somewhere, just so they can go Gideon Emblem and then just drop 4-drop Gideon and then potentially win with something like that, or hold off or try to stave. But there wasn't a single 3-drop Gideon anywhere to be found. The fact that Bone Picker made it and 3-drop Gideon did not does show trends to me. I believe 3-drop Gideon has already started to fall down in price, which sucks because I actually opened up a foil one completely random out of a pack the other day. I tried to unload it, but no one wanted to take it for good reason, and now the Pro Tour happened. Gideon didn't make an appearance whatsoever. The foil's probably just going to drop even further, but oh well. Getting back on track, though, this does show, to me at least, why the mono black deck that ended up taking the day was able to hedge out the black white variant of zombies, just because it was able to utilize a lot more cards that the white variant wasn't able to utilize. Yes, the mono black version wasn't able to gain life, but I think at the point of which where life is so significant that you could just go and say Westvale Abbey because I'm able to crap out so many cards, fly over all your other zombies for the win, I do think it shows that there's a lot of potential, especially with the mono black variant. And we do have Westvale Abbey now seeing play again, which I think is a great finisher for any mono color deck, especially one that's able to poop out tokens as effectively. But that leads us into the 4 of Timur Aetherworks Marvel. And I mentioned it once before, Cardboard Crack has mentioned it, people have consistently mentioned it. Aetherworks Marvel, as somebody who has played it before, is a coin flip. It is a glass cannon deck. You will either hit something and be incredibly grateful that you hit it, or you will hit nothing. It'll be 6 lands and 2 sorceries, like 2 Attune with Aether or something like that. And the deck will just go to pieces on you. As a deck, I really like it, but I think that's the main reason why it lost to Zombies. Zombies is just more consistent. Zombies is able to place out more and more zombies. Let's say with Aetherworks hitting against the Mono Black, which we did see in the top 8, if Ulamog hits, yeah, sure, exile 2 of my lands. I still have 5-6 zombies on the field I could chump block with, or I have 5 or 6 zombies on the field. I could just outswing your Ulamog and kill you real quick. I don't mind taking one hit from Ulamog and having a little bit of my deck exiled. You're still going to die zombies. And I think that's what the hedge was. Granted, there were a few times in tournament where I did see an Aetherworks Marvel flip, and it was just nothing but lands, or it was nothing but bad cards that you don't want to hit with Aetherworks Marvel. But the fact that it did make a comeback and is now the go-to combo deck over Saheeli Cat does show that the deck is making progress. I do think it needs a little bit of adjustment to potentially hedge out zombies in the end, but that's just something that we as a whole, as a community, can work on. One card that I was surprised didn't make it into top 8, granted there were 3 zombie decks, but not a single one of them played it, was Plaguebear, the 3-drop 5/4 with Menace. Whenever a zombie dies, each opponent loses 1 life. I'm surprised that none of them decided to try to fit that into their deck somewhere. To me, it just seems like a really good card. You just kill one of your tokens when it enters the battlefield. The 2 neg 1 counters on it. You kill the token, they lose 1 life. Next turn, you're swinging for 5 potential. But I guess, overall, it is too much of a risk, because when that token dies, you're enabling your opponent to trigger revolt. Okay, Fatal Push just happened. I can now Fatal Push your Plague Bearer. Or, okay, a token just died. I can now do a bunch of other shenanigans that trigger revolt. At the end of the day, ultimately, though, Mono Black Zombies proved to be the strongest out of Amonkhet, which you think... You think Innistrad would have had something to do with that, but it unfortunately didn't see a zombie deck really rise out of that. So with Mono Black Zombies rise against an Aetherworks Marvel deck, and the fact that Aetherworks Marvel also kind of suffers the same problem that Mardu Vehicles suffers when against zombies. Aetherworks Marvel does not run a lot of kill spells against zombies, and Aetherworks Marvel, although it's able to get an Ulamog, cannot deal with 5-6 zombies on the field that are already swinging, and I'm already down to a little bit of life. I can try playing a few more creatures in the deck against a mono black variant, but my suggestion to anyone who wants to play Aetherworks Marvel right now is to look at 3-drop kill spell, such as like Sweltering Sun or Radiant Flames might do. The only issue with both of those is they're only going to do 3 damage to the field. You can't be afraid to nuke the field when it's low. If there's 2-3 zombies out for Sweltering Suns or Radiant Flames, that's fine. You just don't want Lords to hit, because once the Lords hit, if 1 or 2 Lords hit, now the zombies are going to be out of range for Sweltering Suns or Radiant Flames or something like that. So you got to be able to kill most of the field when it comes up. And to deal with Liliana's Mastery, I would suggest enchantment removal on the side. But for cards like Liliana's Mastery, unfortunately, there's not a lot to deal with that. Initially, I was looking to cards like Natural State or something like that, but that only goes to cost 3 or less. The best card I can suggest for the final pseudo lord in any zombie build Liliana's Mastery right now is Worldbreaker, at least for Aetherworks Marvel. Worldbreaker enables you to destroy land, enchantment, or artifact, so it's able to hit Scrap Heap, Scrounger, it's able to hit Aetherworks Marvel deck, mirror matches, it's able to deal with Liliana's Mastery, it's able to block Heart of Kharon if you want to destroy something else. There's a lot that Worldbreaker is able to do. As a whole, it's a great card, so one of main might be the way to go, along with one of side potentially. The only problem with Worldbreaker is just the same problem you have with Ulamog, being in an Aetherworks Marvel deck, is starting out with them in hand. You never want them in hand, so there's an issue that a lot of people are having keeping those in hand. So Karthar's Reunion, Tormenting Voice, cards like that are just some cards that you might want to keep in mind if you're playing more heavy drops. Kozlik's Return also might be another good card to start mainboarding as a one of or a two of, especially if you're able to cast Big Eldrazi. If they already have established board state and a Radiant Flames or a Sweltering Suns isn't going to take care of a field, a Kozlik's Return from the grave, dealing 5 damage to everything, more than likely will kill everything, unless they just happen to have like 5 or 6 Lords on the field, in which case you're probably already lost the game anyways. But that's just something to keep in mind. Returning to the old staples that we had with the Return to Zendikar Belial are just some ideas that I'm throwing out there. You don't have to follow my advice, I'm just a podcaster, but those are my ideas as a professional Magic player. Those are just some ideas as somebody who's played Aetherworks Marvel, some things that I can do to improve the deck as a whole against zombie decks or against Mardu vehicles, against Black-Green Energy, or any other deck that you might pop up against. The next thing I want to touch upon is something that I thought would honestly make the top 8. I mentioned it before, but I thought there was potential for a red-white humans deck to make it into the top 8 or sneak somewhere in there. And I'd like to compare that if I have the chance against the zombie decks that are showing up. So I think this is a fair comparison. The zombie decks do have around the same build structure that the red-white humans decks are running. Example, I believe the humans decks have around the same number of lords that the black zombie decks and the blue zombie decks and the black-white zombie decks all have. I think they're all running 3 to 4 lords, one of which is Metallic Mimic, in each deck, of course. They're running a big creature as the end of their curve. So with zombies, it's Westvale Abbey. With red-white humans, it's either Avacyn or some of the decks I do see utilizing Handwire, the Writhing Township. It's not a card that saw a lot of play during the Innistrad block, but I do see it has a lot of potential now. It's very similar to Westvale Abbey. The fact that when the card flips, it's able to give you a 7-5 with Haste and Trample that craps out 2/3/2 Eldrazi tokens does have a lot of fantastic abilities. The only issue here is this versus Westvale Abbey's flip, Ormondal Profane Prince. It's just going to lose out. The fact that Ormondal does have Indestructible already makes it significantly better than the flip side of Handwire. Plus, it has Lifelink, so it's able to stave off quite a bit. It has Haste just like Handwire, and it has Flying. Granted, it doesn't have Trample, so it could be chump blocked by an Avacyn or something like that. But whatever it lacks in that area, it will make up for it over time with just the amount of beatdown that it's able to do. I also believe it's able to go off around the same time that Handwire Battlements is able to go off. Bombs usually don't win games, though. It's what makes things consistent, what makes things run the way they work. That's how games are ultimately won, at least when it comes to Standard. So why did red-white humans get edged out by zombie variants? And I think it just comes down to the fact that right now zombies, I think, are stronger and faster than red white humans. I do think there's room to improve, and I do think both the decks have a lot of potential to get better. Both decks have a lot of potential to go head to head, and I think those are the two aggro decks right now that we need to keep an eye on. are both red-white humans and all the zombie variants. I think this delegates Mardu to control and obviously Aetherworks Marl to combo. There is at least room in here for maybe at least one more top-tier deck that we'll potentially see, and I think we'll see that within the coming weeks. Where I think the format needs a small adjustment is I do think we need a blue control deck represented that's not just Aetherworks in some sort of degree. I do think blue needs to come out, and I think blue has a great potential with Disallow. It has potential with 3-drop Gideon. It has great potential with Sphinx of the Final Word, Torrential Gearhulk, stuff like that. I think there's deck potential there. It's just a matter of getting there. Now that it has Sensor as well, maybe we'll see something within the coming weeks, as much as I know a lot of people hate control, but I think that's what the format is kind of lacking right now, is some sort of control deck that does a little bit better job or delegates a little bit more than Mardu control has to, or Mardu vehicles or Mardu ballista. I think the format could also use another more mid-rangey deck. Granted, Mardu vehicles might be edged out by the quicker decks that we see in red-white humans or zombies or the combo decks that we see in Aetherworks Marvel, but I do think we need a slightly more mid-range deck, and I'm hoping that's where something else will pop up. As of right now, I think time needs to settle after the Bro Tour. People are still brewing, and the meta's starting to shift now. People are starting to pick up these cards for all these decks that just appeared in the Pro Tour. Speaking of which, I did see something in my local game store that was kind of funny to me. In a way, it's its own combo deck. So it's utilizing Aetherworks Marvel, shocker. But where it differs from all the other Aetherworks Marvel decks, it was an Esper build. So it's a more control-y combo deck. Well, a lot of you are probably wondering, well, where's the wincon in that? Well, the guy running it is actually running Approach the Second Sun in the deck as his main win con. So he'll slam down Aetherworks Marvel. He'll Marvel, cast Approach. It goes 7 cards deep again. He'll then gain X energy, 6 energy, whatever amount of energy he needs to dig 6 cards deep again and a cast Approach of the Second Sun again. So it might be another way for Marvel decks to venture out is but possibly look up an Esper build out there and win consistently on turn 5. It also might be another way for the Marvel decks to get around zombies just beating down face too quickly. But that's just an idea thrown out there. Now I'm going to leave with my final thought. I do enjoy the way Standard is currently turning out. I think there's a lot of room for improvement. The Pro Tour definitely showed us some avenues that maybe a lot of players overlooked, and I'm really looking forward to the next tournament. And hopefully we'll see a little bit more variants that just pop up. I'm also hoping that we're not stuck to just a 3-4 deck standard. Now that Kat's gone, we do see a lot more decks popping up, and Kat's banning was very healthy for the format. Hopefully we don't have to have another banning this upcoming standard. I'm looking forward to the release of Hour of Devastation. With that, that'll bring more cards and maybe widen the format even greater than what it already is. It also might push out a few other cards. A secondary side note, to those who are already starting to hate on zombies, zombies will lose quite a few cards upon the rotation of Innistrad block. But that doesn't mean that Amonkhet won't introduce a lot more things that we can use. In fact, I think it'll streamline it even further than what we already know. But that is again a different topic for when Hour of Devastation releases. With that in mind though, I'd like to say all lines of thought are open to all Magic Seekers. This is your host from NTG Eternities, signing out.